Good evening, and welcome to our annual Rosh Hashanah Symposium. I'd like to thank the Rabbi Zaffin for all the effort I put into it, and Mr. Kutzman, the Prash, specifically all the Rabbanim, the Chassar Rabbanim that gathered here in this event, in these days of awe, to give us wisdom and inspiration. The Rabbanim are the Eini Ha'ida. They guide us. They care for us. They uphold the standards of the city. And for us, it's an honor to partner with them in many endeavors, and specifically here tonight. I thank you very, very much. I'd like to begin with a story that transpired many decades ago with the great Magid and Shalom Shadron, who would go from city to city, from place to place, and try to inspire people to uphold the mitzvahs of the Torah, to strengthen themselves, and avoid the Hashem, the divine service. And one of the things that he would do every year, he would go to Haifa and speak about the importance of Shabbos. Maybe it was called the Shabbos Symposium. Haifa is a well-known secular city, and he had much to accomplish over there. And every year he was welcomed warmly and tried to do what he could to strengthen Shmir Shabbos. One year, right before he would come to Haifa, the city, they held some type of parade. And in that parade, it was reported to Rav Shalom that there was a lot of immodesty, breaches of sneers, and public display, and it was the cause of great distress to Rav Shalom. When Rav Shalom came soon after, in his appointed time to speak about Shabbos, instead he took up the cause of tzniut, of modesty, gave a very strong and impassioned speech about Kedushas Yisrael, the purity of the children of Israel, the standards of modesty that we need to uphold. And to Shalom's surprise, his words were met not very warmly, but angered the city of Haifa. And in fact, they were so hurt by his words that they banned Rav Shalom from coming to the city for a whole year. Rav Shalom, in turn, he was hurt and surprised at the reaction of the people in Haifa. And he went to the great Rav, a friend and confidant, and told him what transpired and asked him to interpret it. How did such a thing happen? He was well-meaning. He meant Lishma. And the Brit Rav told him, when we make a bracha, Birchas HaTorah, in the morning, the nusach that we use, the text that we employ, is La'asek V'divrei Torah. Translated usually as tutorial in the words of Torah. But La'asek, it comes from the word of Aset, like a business. And the Brit Rav told Rav Shalom, in Ruchnius too, we have to treat it like a business. We have to be focused. We have to be mission-oriented. You had a particular job to go to Haifa and strengthen Shmir Shabbos. And instead you got diverted. You got distracted. You were well-meaning. But you lost focus of your purpose. And because of that, your mission was not met with success. It's a tremendous idea, and you saw it in Ruchnius. And I thought of this as we approach the days of the young and the Rayan. We come to prepare ourselves, to do tshuva, to find merit, to take this yisurian and to think we only have so much time, so much mental energy, so much focus. Where could it be that we could put our energy and our focus? Where could we get a lot of dividends for our investment? firstly, it makes sense to understand who we are as people. What makes us human beings? What is our superiority over animals? What defines who we are? What determines our essence? What is our special koach and character as the Jewish people? And how might the answers to these questions guide us as we prepare for the new year? Furthermore, is it possible to see these answers in the special avodah of Rosh Hashanah? Who are we? The pasuk says, when Hashem, when God created man, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam, Afram en ha'adam, He formed him from the dust of the earth, Vayipach ba'afav nishmas chayim, and He breathed into him a neshama, a living neshama, Vayihi ha'adam v'nefesh chaya, and man became a living being. Rashi, he says, even animals are called chaya, they're living. Ach zush ha'adam chaya shebekulam, this one is more living. Shani tasis by day of the dibur, and imbued within him is intellect and the power of speech. Unculus as well, translating the words v'hi ha'adam v'nefesh chaya, translating those very words, is v'havas v'adam v'ruach v'malala, a speaking being, a being with the power of articulation. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Yom Amud Beis, in fact says that when the Mishnah says Nadha, of one of the Arba Avos Nezikin, that refers to man. Quotes the pasuk that Nadha is one who speaks and who talks. Man is identified, characterized, and defined by his ability to speech. And that's what differentiates us from beasts and animals. There were great people throughout the history, but then in the Gemara, they had tremendous spiritual powers. They knew the secrets of creation. They were able to do things like this, to make a man. Sefer Yetzira, a Kabbalistic work. And the Marsha says that they weren't able to speak, these creations. And you know why? Marsha says because they didn't have a neshama. They didn't have a soul. And it's from the soul that the power of speech emanates. And that surprises me when we come to determine our essence. We see that it's speech that does it. The pasuk in Bereishis, when Yaakov sells the bowl of lentils to his brother Esav, Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, Haliteni namin ha'adam ha'adam hazeh, give me from this red stuff that you prepared. Ki ayis anokhi, I'm very famished. The pasuk continues, Al kein kara shemai Edron. Therefore his name was known as Edron, because he referred to this food and a type of crude way. Give me from his mezka, he was called Edom. Chazal tell us that Esav committed many sins on that day. Grievous sins. Serious transgressions. But it was his manner of speech that defined him. That's what a name is. A name is something that defines a person's essence. Naira. Contrast this, the Pasuk in Shemayis. Vayomer Malach Mitzrayim v'mialveis ha'ivriyos asher shem ha'achat Shifra v'shem ha'shem Tkua. These two Jewish midwives would bring these babies into the world. And what were their names? Shifra and Tkua. Who was Tkua? Rashi said, Zu Miriam she'Tkua u'midaberet v'hoigel v'vlad Kedarach HaNashim HaMafaisi Tzina Tabaika. Pua, that's Miriam Hanzia. She would go cuckoo to the little babies, calm them down. Miriam, a towering figure of prophecy. What was the name that the Torah gave her for? Because of the delicate and sensitive nature of her speech. With speech, we connect to the Yigayna Shalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah in Avos Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, it tells us that two that are sitting together, the Yishtimei and Divrei Torah, they're speaking words of Torah. Shechina Shriya Bineihem. The Divine Presence is there, together with them. The Gemara continues, maybe you would think only two have great reward. How do you know even one? Sheyoshe Va'aisek Torah. That's toiling in Torah. He gets the word too. That Kadosh Baruch Hu Tevel of Kar, Shenemar Yish Badan Yidain Kinatal Allah. The Maharal is Medayik. He sees from the Mishnah that when we're talking about one that's learning Torah, it's true that his reward is great. But it doesn't say the Shechina is there. And the Maharal says only the Tivrei Torah. When we articulate our words, when there's two, there's a masa masa, there's a back and forth. Does that connect us to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Shechina? This is the special kayak and force to call yourself. Hakol Kol Yachas. This is the voice that emanates throughout the Torah. Torah, Tzviva. This is our tools and our trade. Yaakov, he tells Yosef, I'll give you the Shechanacha, the extra portion. Asher lekasti mi'adamari b'charbi lekasti, that I took with my sword and my arrow. What does that mean, his sword and his arrow? Uncle says, b'tloisi uvivu'usi, with my tzila, with my power of speech. This is how Klal Yisrael engages in battle. Spiritual battle. Physical battle. The great power. The great chaos, the great force that we have. And that comes with great responsibility. The Me'iri says, Me'achar shemayla ha'adam al shar ba'vechayim inu rak the deeper of the seichel. After that, this is the unique feature that distinguishes us from the animals. It's appropriate that we not misuse this very precious tool. With low and vile things. Things like gossip and slander and things like that. Words, they have the power to create worlds. The Mishnah in Avos, Parakei, Basara Mamara, Nivra Ayram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the world into existence. Through 10 Mamaras, verbal emanations of Yaakov. And words connect us to one another. Not only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to our friends, to our neighbors, and they foster peace. The Hirsch identifies the Shirish, the root of Davar, Dal of Dave Rage, as meaning to bring together disparate things. Words also have the power to destroy and to tear apart and to sow dissension. The Chavetz Chaim, the Shmir Salashim, he tells us the more spiritual, the more ruchniyus something is, the more powerful it is. And it's for this reason that words have the power that it does. Even to harm. We also engage in speech thousands of times a day. We talk to our friends, our co-workers, our spouses, and our children. This power of speech that defines our humanity as our heritage, as Yidden, as Jews, that connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, and one another. So we use this to open up our hearts in prayer, to build people, to bring peace and harmony to each other. Or God forbid, to speak ill and gossip and slander. Remarkably, when we think about it, we see the aspects of Dibur in the unique avodah of Rosh Hashanah. What's the primary service of Rosh Hashanah? Doubtless is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to proclaim Hashem's kingship. And how is this accomplished? Well, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, on that Tazayin Amar Aleph, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Imu Lefanai V'Rosh Hashanah, say before me, proclaim in my presence, Malki Ayis Zichrayin Ayis Tashayis, the three parts of the Muslim liturgy, today Shatam Lichuni Aleichem, in order that you make me king over you, Zichronos, today Shiyala Zichunechem Lefanai L'Tayva, that aspect of Zichronos, to bring merit to you. And the Gemara concludes, Luvima, and how is this accomplished? With what? The shofar. Together with the shofar. It is with the reciting of these verses that are mamlech that bring kingship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over us. Luvima, the shofar, it can very well be that over here this is symbolic of that Vayipach Ba'ata Mishmat Chaim. We blow into the shofar, that very breath, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into man. That's symbolic of his neshama, of his Koach HaDibur. And we offer that up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Avadim, as Banim, in his service, to be Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu over us. In a very special time, a unique time, we daven for ourselves, for our families, for Klal Yisrael. We try to be merit. We try to draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a time of tremendous potential to accomplish all of these. I think it's a unique and special time to give thought to the special power of speech and how it could be used so wondrously to better ourselves, our family, to speak gently, to encourage each other, to engage in Divrei Torah and Sila, and to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to wish you all Tfilas Tmimas Hayda. It's my great honor and pleasure to call Rabbi Ryan. I'd like to thank Rabbi Ryan in particular for his friendship and partnership as always, and for sharing the space, Tolo and Southeast, and it's really a pleasure to have him join us once again. And no further ado,
very good evening. On behalf of the shul, I'd like to reciprocate our gratefulness to the Kollel for the tremendous partnership that we have here in shul and the partnership that all of us are aware of throughout the greater Washington area. I'd like to gratefully acknowledge the presence of Reverend Winter, and by extension express our appreciation to the Rav Zatzal of Winter for his vision in creating the Kollel. Over the years, what has emerged, as you are well aware, is that the Kollel in all of its locations has been a magnet for wonderful people to gather, to grow in Torah, and to enhance all areas of Jewish life in our community, and for that we thank you. I'd like also to acknowledge our participating rabbis this year, Rabbi Kreiser, Rabbi Frank. We have something very unique and special going in our community. I see it best, that's the vibe, but it's present in all kinds of interactions where we have leadership that is really looking for the benefits of the greater good. On various occasions, we're able to enhance each other's communities, and it's just a precious relationship to experience. We wish Rabbi Frank in particular, still in Tzana Rishona in our community, continued Hatzlacha. We should be zocheh to share good news with one another. Rosh Hashanah is known as Haras Olam, the time when the world was created. Not 100% accurate, because we know that the creation of the world actually preceded Rosh Hashanah by a few days. Rosh Hashanah representing the sixth day of creation, the day when Adam and Chava were created. That sixth day of creation, our Rosh Hashanah, was a wondrous day. After Adam was created, as the prophet describes, Lamotta Ezer Kenegdo. There was no helpmate for Adam. There was no life partner. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, Kala HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. Hashem himself braided Chava's hair. You could call it micromanaging. But Hashem wasn't leaving this to anybody else. He wanted Chava to look good on that first date. Obviously, Avnosim tells us, Kosta Kekala. Hashem adorned Chava with jewelry, like a kala. She should be attractive. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, Kikos Bishnei Chava. Any human being compared to Chava was like a monkey. She was so beautiful. It's an amazing gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow on Adam. He packages this gift very carefully. But Adam wasn't in tune. And when Adam is held accountable for eating from the Eitz HaDaat, his response is, Ha'isa! It's all the woman's fault, the one that you put over here. Everything would have been good without her. But you gave me Chava, and now we're in trouble. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has two words for Adam. Kafui tov. Unappreciative. You were given a gift. Something doesn't go right in your life and you blame it on the gift. And as we approach Rosh Hashanah, it behooves us to try to rectify the mistake of first man. To ask ourselves, are we going to make this Rosh Hashanah different than that first Rosh Hashanah? Are we going to appreciate the gift in our lives? I'll give you an example. Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Hashem told Moshe, Oser Yesli Deveis Kenazai, I have a treasure, and I want to give it as a matana, as a gift to the Jewish people. He was referring to Shabbos. Shabbos is a gift. Do we treasure it as much as we could? Do we savor it as much as we should? You go on vacation, you take a picture. It's a nice picture. But when you get back and you develop the picture, you take the picture and you put it in a frame with a glass cover so that it shines. And now it's a picture. A person writes a poem. We have a poetry group here in Shul. So you write a poem and you type it up and you print it. It's a poem. And then you put a border on the page. And now you've shown it's special. Halakhically, we recite Kiddush when we start Shabbos. Halakhically, we say Havdalah when it leaves. It's a noteworthy event in our lives. But to really appreciate a gift has to do with the emotion that we invest in the gift. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say that here in the United States we were blessed that we saved Shabbos. In the transfer from Europe to the United States, we were able to keep Shabbos. He said, but we lost Erev Shabbos. The anticipation that Shabbos is coming doesn't permeate. It takes work. And Shragi Neuberger from Ner Yisrael put out a sefer recently regarding advice that he's been sharing in Shalom Bayis to various couples. And he writes that one of the great pitfalls of young couples is they think that if they're really meant for each other, it's just gonna work. And after 6 months or a year, they start wondering, it's not just working. And he writes how he has to share with them, gifts don't just work on their own. You have to receive them. You have to treasure them. You have to work with them. You have to have the perspective that it's indeed a gift, even when it gets bumpy. Which brings us to another gift. Family and friends. A person's parents, a spouse, children, neighbors. Sometimes we're not doing anything wrong, but we do need to disengage from the distractions in order to appreciate the gift. I was talking with my mother last week, and she shared with me what she considered a most distressing scene. She told me she was watching in the morning as a father and his daughter were walking down the street to the bus stop. And the little girl had such a serene, glowing look on her face. She's holding her daddy's hand. And she's walking with him. And the father was chattering on his cell phone. He's not here. distressing. 3 minutes of quality time. The gift. And he missed it. It's important to answer the phone. It's important to talk on the phone. It's also important to carve out a balance in life. Some time for the gift, to appreciate them. Sometimes we don't even realize that we have a gift. I read an article written by a woman who writes that she was raised in what we would call a totally thrill environment. Went through the system. When she was 35 years old, she was in Eretz Yisrael, and she attended a lecture by Noach Weinberg of Aish. And Rabbi Weinberg began with the question, does Hashem like us? And he gave the audience a few moments to think. And then he thundered his answer. Does Hashem like us? He loves us! And she writes that in 35 years, she doesn't recall ever hearing anyone tell her that she's allowed to ask that question, does Hashem like us? And there's an answer, no, he loves us. Not to take away, but it's not only about observing, and it's not only about responsibility. It's a gift. Hashem loves us. Lehetiv love. He wants to do good. In other forums, Rabbi Weinberg used to bring out this concept with college students. He would ask, would you rather have your left eye or your right arm? What's the cash value you associate with your eye? What's the cash value, he would ask the college students, that you associate with your right arm? And after giving them a moment to think, he would say, Hashem gives them both to you as a gift. Because he loves you. Rosh Hashanah is a lot on so many levels. But one theme is a lesson from the story of first man. Hashem gave him a gift. He really, really tried. He made the gift pretty. He braided the gift with a beautiful bow and jewelry. And Adam didn't appreciate the gift. In the words of the Gemara Kufri Tov, it's a worthy time for us to pay attention to the gifts of our lives, to treasure them, to invest in them, to avoid distractions, whether it's relationships, or it's Shabbos, or it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or so many others. May we be Zocha, Kimtzos Chosan Al Kala, the way a Chosan ought to rejoice with the Kala. Yosis Alayach Elokayach, so may Hashem rejoice with us. Aksiva V'chasima Tova, a good yontif to all.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Ryan, for your beautiful words. It's a great honor to have Rabbi Eliezer Kreiser with us here tonight, partner together with him. Not only that I myself cherish our relationship, but Rabbi Kreiser lives in Yidid with my father's Rassal, and an opportunity to thank Rabbi Kreiser for all that he's done for the community, his scholarship, his ni'imot, and the great ways that he benefits us in so many ways, mostly unknown. No further ado, call Rabbi Kreiser.
Rabbi Winter, for the wonderful introduction, and if I can may add to the ways unknown to me as well. Take it from there. You know, being up here, what to me is based the grocery of the road of the South, is indeed something very special. Winter, you did mention Yedidus. Yedidus, I don't think is the right word. I very much benefited from what I feel was a chiddush favor, a special warmth, the closeness that Rabbi Winter Zatzal showed me. And not only in his warm words, but at times I got some pointed mussar. And was on target, and I think it brought me even closer. Post in the Chod Achsanya. What kind of Achsanya are we talking about? Southeast Hebrew, led by the distinguished Rav of Iran, the Langadot Shtarik, is adorned with a very special keter, with a very special crown. Shul, a host, a kerel, where kol fellows sit and toil in Torah, and also go out and are marvelous servants. We are talking with a bias, with a base medrash, that is adorned with a very special cancer table. And a very special schus. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless Shul, Rav, Kehila, along with the Kehu of many, many years of growth, of Aliyah, and continue to spread Torah throughout the greater Washington area. When we talk about opportunity, so, you know, anybody subscribes to Fortune, Forbes, Barron's, the Wall Street Journal, that's a lot of reading to do, but basically, those who read it, what are we reading them for? To spot an opportunity, trends, who knows what. I'm not a professor of finance, but you understand what I'm talking about. Now, you read these magazines, you spot opportunities. So on the one hand, some of these opportunities could be beyond our reach. You know, you need an investment of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not there. Or, could be I'm reading an article and a professional reads it and sees, wow, there's wonderful opportunity here. I read it and I go on to the next article. What's the definition of opportunity? That's the definition. What are we supposed to do when we see opportunity? Well, capitalize. Utilize the opportunity that is presented. But in order for that to happen, I have to first understand and appreciate that I have an opportunity, and then feel that I am the person, I have the wherewithal, the capabilities, to utilize and to capitalize on the opportunity that presents itself. A shidduch has to happen between the opportunity and myself. We have to see that we're able. We have to see it for what it is and see where we fit in and what we can do. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it is an opportunity for all of us. And if we understand that, it places upon us this obligation to capitalize and to utilize this opportunity. And for us to properly understand what that relationship is, I'd like to mention a mashal. I heard from my father, I heard from the Giach of the Baranovich Yeshiva. Shivan Baranovich was world famous. He was led by Rabbi Chana Wasserman. And the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva was Rabbi Shlyakov Lubchansky. Rabbi Shlyakov Lubchansky was a giant in Torah, a giant in Musar, a giant in spirit. He was the son-in-law of the Alta of Nevardik, and he was one of the generals of the Nevardik Muslim movement. He was also a brilliant orator, but in typical Nevardik fashion, he did not act as conduct himself as an orator. He conducted himself as a pasha to eat, and if you ever tried to give him any covet, he had a hard time. My father said that, I think it was Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, he would give a drasha, besides the shmuzin that he gave in Yeshiva. And that drasha that he gave, the entire city came. Everybody came. And he would talk, go on, and you could hear a pin drop. Father didn't remember much, but he still constantly repeats one refrain of Rabbi Shlyakov. You know, I guess just in case you don't hear it in my accent, I was born in New York. If you know what I mean. Now, in New York is Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue, right? The shops that are on Fifth Avenue and Madison Avenue are shops that, you know, you can really buy very precious items, you know, Gucci and Coach and Tiffany. They're not on 29th. Right? They're on Madison Avenue. So the Shlyakov Lubchansky used to ask, and he would refer to the main street in Baranovich, which is called Marshal Custer Street, named after some Polish marshal. He used to ask, what does the behemoth look for on Marshal Custer Street? We bring a cow from upstate New York, and we bring it to Madison Avenue, what is the cow going to look for? I think we all know not looking for a piece of jewelry in Tiffany. What's it looking for? Same thing it looks for in upstate New York. A little grass. We need a patch of grass. Take me to Central Park and you're not going to take me back to upstate New York. But Shlyakov used to say, you know what we are? We are behemoths. We are cows on Madison Avenue. Why is that? Is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur such an opportunity? We could merit such closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such an aliyah and ruchnius. And what do we ask for? We get up there and we ask for take a raise in salary, to use an addition, so on and so forth. Of course, to host more people, to do different things. Everything is wrapped in ruchnius. But do we really understand what we could merit by Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? If we really understood it, our approach would be a lot different. And that was the refrain of his. We are the Hamers of Marshall Custer Street. All of us, I think, we understand that opportunities of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are very special indeed. But the truth is, if we really look at and understood it properly, we would understand to a certain degree, perhaps we are the Hamers of Marshall Cups to see on Madison Avenue. because there is so much, there are so many dimensions to connecting to Malchus Shemayim that we don't quite utilize those opportunities. We have many excuses, but at the end of the day, we probably could use some more. And I'd like to share a dimension that I think we can think about as we enter into Rosh Hashanah. The Medrash of Rukhum Lubavitch quotes a Medrash. Rukhum says, you know, every Yom Tov has a theme around which we commemorate. Pesach, Shias Mitzrayim, Shavuot, Matan Torah. What's Rosh Hashanah? I know the Torah tells us Yom Teruah. But we know the theme of Rosh Hashanah revolves around Malchus. That Rosh Hashanah is the day we commemorate the creation of the world. It's the world's birthday. What does the world's birthday mean to us? Not some giant cake. What does it mean? So Yerucham quotes the Medrash in Kehel. The Medrash says that when the world was created and Adam was created, because Baruch Hu showed Adam the world, because Baruch Hu said to Adam Arishan, Rei Ma'asai, come and know you. Look how beautiful my handiwork is. Ten Daitacha, Shvoitikav to the Tachar that they love. Be conscientious. Make sure that you don't do anything that will be destructive and will negate the beauty of this world that I created for you. So Adam was charged with protecting and safeguarding the world. Not the way the Green Party envisions it, but the way we understand what it means. If Rosh Hashanah, if our Rosh Hashanah, the day that we commemorate creation of the world that was created in perfection, that means on our sun itself is a day that through what we do and the commitment that we make, the malchus that we declare for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can somehow be mistaken and enhance and bring the world back to where it was originally. We read the newspapers, we see so many things that bring us sorrow. It's a world that's out of sync. That there are migrants flooding Europe. That there's a battle in Ukraine. See, so many things are going on that we see. It doesn't make sense. Why are people doing this? Anti-Semitism. We have an answer. You know, I'm a Nivchor. Who Mashiach comes. What's going on here? What? As soon as Mashiach, what's going on? What's happening there? It is all connected to the fact that the world is not in the state of perfection that it should be. And who could do something about it? The United Nations, I think it's probably a brothel of us all. But who amongst us, who we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told other Marisi, Ten Daitacha, Shvoitikau V'tachar Eseirami, what does that mean? How? How would Adam be mocked of the world? What do we do? What do we contribute that somebody has tsar overseas? The answer is if we did our part, Klal Yisrael, Hayat Mitzvah, incarnating our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the world will be a different place. A bracha that we make, every mitzvah that we do, infuses the world with the kedusha that fortifies the world with the vitamins it needs to get back to where it was. Monsieur Fisharim says that the world, Olam Nivra L'shima Shadam, the world was created for us. It's through our actions which distance us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that becomes a destructive force. Not only do we become distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the world suffers on account of that. So when we see Rachmana Litzlan, we see things going on. You know who we need to point the finger at? At ourselves. Not in a negative way. It's because Adam is the crown and glory of creation. Adam because, so he restrained it, your Rukh Lavav constantly says, man in all his glory. He has power of free will. I went to mention before the power of speech. That's what we were endowed with. Well, what do we use that for? We have to use that to safeguard and to repair the world, so to speak. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchus. If we look at the Shemona Esrei, the bracha that, the longest bracha, the bracha that contains not only Malchus, but contains the Kedushas Hayom, the central theme of the day, the sanctity of the day, is the Malchus. That's the avoda of Rosh Hashanah. What does Malchus mean? We carry the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Through that carnation, we're making that commitment to be greater Oyvei Hashem, greater carinators of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through that, we have an opportunity not only to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but through that closeness, we enhance, we fortify, we give the world its vitamins, so to speak, to become a better place to the entire creation. We daven. We say to the Chaytein Pastachos. Go on to Malchi. When we say the Piyutim, when we think the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gift that we're given, that Adam is the crown and glory of creation. And from Adam, from all the nations of the world, the Asher Bo Habonim is going on us. Understanding that responsibility, with it, understanding the opportunities that present themselves to us. We can not only capitalize and utilize the opportunities as individuals, because through ourselves, we then can impact the world at large. Now, there's a point that yes, you know, that's my responsibility. It is our responsibility. What does the Medrash tell us? This week's parasha, the person's in a ship, and he's on this cruise line, the Queen Mary, the world, the Guinness World Record. It's so big. And he starts digging a hole with a Phillips screwdriver. Right? I'm not going to do too much, but, you know, but even with a Phillips screwdriver, it could be the beginning of the end. Hi, it's your room, and you pay top dollar for it. The answer is, we're all in this together. Every yachid plays a central role. How do we play that central role? Through the conduct of ourselves. So how do we conduct ourselves? Through our tefillos, through the mitzvahs that we do. And when we do a mitzvah here, we make a bracha, we do a mitzvah, it impacts the person halfway across the world. It's quite sobering, but it should also be very empowering to understand the impact that we can have. It requires effort, it requires, you know, concentration. But if you think about what Rosh Hashanah is a wonderful opportunity for ourselves as individuals. And, you know, if we need to express ourselves when we see all these things going on in the world and we can't understand the 21st century, what's going on, how do you respond? Not necessarily with a demonstration. It's opening up a siddur. It's opening up a chumash. It's opening up a gemara. It's showing patience for each other. It's going the extra mile by doing a chesed. That's the way we're supposed to respond to frustrating news and pictures. And that's where Rosh Hashanah is ground zero. Where we have that opportunity to celebrate the world's creation and to be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through that being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we become closer. And through that closeness, Hisharus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we elevate ourselves, and through that we also elevate the world. Ezra Hashem, all of us, together, the entire community, and Klal Yisrael, should merit a Rosh Hashanah where we capitalize and utilize that opportunity, that we all merit a year of real aliyah, of growth, bracha, simcha, and we should all merit a tefillah l'chasima teva.
Officially welcome Rabbi Frank. I've been with Rabbi Frank Sr. for a year already. I got to know him first before he moved here on the phone, a few conversations. And it's really been a delight to get to know Rabbi Frank and to see the special and new dimension and aspect that he's brought to the community. We look forward to many opportunities to work together, get to know each other better. It's very special to have you here. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to introduce Rabbi Michal Frank, Rav Arad there. So tomorrow after, Rabbi Ryan, and Rabbi Winter, and the big Yashar Hayah. To both of you for being having me to speak, giving me this opportunity to speak in front of such a heart of the Tzibur. It's a well-known speaking gimmick to utilize what the previous speakers have spoken about, and not to lose out on that opportunity. We've heard now tonight about man's capability, as Rabbi Winter said, spoke about. We've heard from Rabbi Ryan about how necessary it is for us to look back and appreciate all that we've gotten over the year. And we've heard most from Rabbi Kreiser how important it is not to let this opportunity slip through our fingers, slip through our hands, out of our grasp, and capitalize on it, utilize it to its fullest extent. For those who remember what the title of my speech is, I'm not sure myself at this point what it was, but it was certainly about tefillah. And I want to give three pointers how Rosh Hashanah, like it is now, we're in shul most of the day, and what we're doing is davening. And the tefillahs we say, some of them are easier to relate to, and some of them are more difficult to relate to. And I want to give three pointers, which can perhaps help us focus and be mechaber. And through that, through properly relating to our tefillahs, we can then hopefully utilize our fullest potential of speech, grow to appreciate what we have, and capitalize on the opportunity that Rosh Hashanah presents us. The first point I want to point out, and I remember hearing this from Marcel Salman, please do as well, the Mashiach of Lakewood, that the most imperative thought a person has to realize before he starts davening is that davening works. Davening helps. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to hear it. And it's not only at work, it's the only thing that works. That bitachon, that thought, that belief is the single most important belief a person needs to have before he starts davening. This is what's going to help. This is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to hear from us. Harasat Kifal Amalei, Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting. He has mountainful of tayyib, of good, of blessing, of bracha to bestow upon us. He is waiting for us to ask for. Every single yachid tefillah is important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every word of tefillah we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for. I heard a story recently from a good friend of mine, Rav Yoel Gold, who lives in Los Angeles. Recently he made a video out of it and posted it online, so some of you may have seen it. But beautiful story. In the video he interviewed all the people that the story is about. But the story begins, his aunt, Mrs. Gindy, goes to Eretz Yisrael with her husband. And they decide, on the spur of the moment, to go to her Kaliyah and eat in a restaurant over there. Kaliyah has more upscale restaurants. There's more food than Greece. It's more enjoyable. So they go, they find themselves in a beautiful restaurant in her Kaliyah. They sit down on the first floor, and this particular restaurant has two floors. And there's a much nicer view on the second floor. So they ask, can we be seated on the second floor? Sure, no problem. They're brought up to the second floor. And the waiter on the second floor comes over to them, and they kibitz with him, and they go through the menu, and they go through all the various options. And as he's leaving the table, he says, by the way, my name is Barak, if you need me. So Mrs. Gindy says, she says, call her husband. So he calls back the waiter, and he says, by any chance, is your mother's name Orna? So he says, yes. How do you know what my mother's name is? So Mrs. Gindy says, I don't believe it. Last year, now 2 years ago, in Operation Protective Edge, there was this organization that he called in, and they gave you the name of a soldier to daven for. And the name I got was Barak Ben Orna. And I have been davening, your name is on my fridge, and I've been davening for you the whole year. And just before we went to Eretz Yisrael, I was wondering, wouldn't it be nice? I don't even know if he's still alive. Wouldn't it be nice if I could find out what happened to him, if I could even meet him? And I davened to Hashem, I said, please give me this opportunity that I should meet Barak Ben Orna and see what's going on with him. So needless to say, and he's interviewed on this video as well, and he says in his Israeli accent, it makes you very warm in your heart, and you know someone else cares so much about you. And they exchange emails, and they hug, and he was very inspired. 3 weeks later, Mrs. Gindy gets an email from Barak that since they met, he began putting on clothes. He was so inspired by the fact that someone cares so much to daven for him, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares so much. It inspired him to put on tefillin every day. I personally was so inspired by this story that he davened about some seemingly insignificant thing, and she was answered in a very clear way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to every single tefillah. And he answers every single tefillah in whatever way he decides to answer. But there is no tefillah that goes unheard. There is no tefillah that goes without being recorded. Tefillah is our only hope, and it is imperative we have that full belief and conviction that our tefillah is going to work before we start out. That's the first point. The second point, and I heard this point from Phil Solomon as well, is that it's very important when we're davening not to focus on ourselves, but to focus on the whole Klal Yisrael. To include the whole Klal Yisrael in your tefillah. He says, even when we say Zachenu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz L'chaim, Yichol Moicha V'rachamim, Zachenu L'sefer HaChaim, he says, really, when do we say those particular tefillahs? We say them in the first three brachas and the last three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says you're not allowed to ask for personal things in the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Those brachas, they're dedicated to saying praise of Hashem. The middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you can ask for things. But the first three brachas, that's only for saying praise to Hashem. So Taisus asks, so why are we saying Zachreinu L'chaim? Taisus says, we're not asking for ourselves. We're asking for Tzorchei Tzibur. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. That's covered about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It is imperative, specifically when we're saying those tefillos of Zecheinu L'chaim, but all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, that it's not just focused on us. We're focusing on everybody in Klal Yisrael, including everybody. Everybody in Klal Yisrael should be Zecheinu L'chaim. Everybody in Klal Yisrael should be Zecheinu L'chaim, and should be Zecheinu L'chaim. The third point I want to make and mention, myself, and everyone, is the importance of understanding oneself before we approach Tfila. We say Zecheinu L'Chaim, Al-Chafetz L'Chaim, remember us for life, the Chazdein of the Sefer HaChaim, and we should be written in the Sefer HaChaim. The Sefer HaChaim is referred to in the Gemara as Sefer of Tzadikim, the Sefer of Tzadikim. This is a big arukos, but the Ramchal, in short, explains that there are two different things being referred to in Shemoneh Esrei. The beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, when we say the Chazdein of the Sefer HaChaim, that's talking about Sefer and Tzal Tzadikim and Sefer and Tzal Rishayim. There's one book that Tzadikim get written into, and there's another book that Rishayim get written into. The end of Shemoneh Esrei, when we say the Sefer HaChaim, Rachel, Tzolom, Hanas, Tzayva, that's when we're asking for all the things we want to happen during the year. We want good, we want Parnasa, we want Chaim, we want health, we want our children to be happy, etc. That's the end of Shemoneh Esrei. The beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, Sefer and Tzal Tzadikim, different Torah signs. Which book do we belong to? And it seems strange, then, how do you bow for a thing like that? If it's a black tie affair, if you're wearing the proper uniform, you're allowed in. If you're a tzaddik, you'll be written in different Torah tradition. If you're not, then you'll be shown the other book. How can you bow for that? It's one, either you are this or you're that. Rav Chaim Friedlander and Sister Chaim explain that the definition of a tzaddik, and this is extremely important as a preparation before you step up to Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, the definition of a tzaddik in this situation is where you are to Eifos lie, where do our desires lie, what is it, our goal, what do we really want from ourselves, and what do we really want in this world? Before we step up to Tfilas Shemoneh Esrei, we have to first be honest with ourselves. And with a little thought, and a little hezbayinus, and a little introspection, we'll see that Ruchnius is really what we want. We all want to be able to daven better. We all want to be more calm, to be more in control of our midos, to be able to have patience whenever it's necessary. We want to be able to be strong about the things we need to be strong about. We want to be able to dedicate time to learning. We want to spend more time with Hashem. We want to think about Hashem more. We want to make Him more part of our life, our family life, our children's life. Every one of us has that in us. That is our utmost and innermost and deepest desire. We want to have with us. And if we focus on that, and we're ma'ir ourselves, and we inspire ourselves, and then when we daven, we say, Zafreinu L'chaim, what we want is Chaim Ruchniyus. We want is Ruchniyus. We want Yiras Shemayim. Chaim Chaim Hachtecha. We want to be able to be close to you. We've defined ourselves as tzaddikim. Then we can be written into Sefer Shal Tzaddikim. When we're davening to be written in Sefer Shal Tzaddikim, we're not only davening in for the simple sense of the word, asking to be written in Sefer Shal Tzaddikim, we're also defining ourselves. The purpose of Tfilas Rosh Hashanah is to establish where we stand, to establish who we are, what we really want, what we're really looking for in this world. In the bigger picture, outside of our day-to-day drachim, our needs, parnasa, health, and all the things that are so important to us, there's a bigger world. And there's a much more grander scheme of things. And in that scheme, Ruchnius is what's important. And to us, truly in the depth of our heart, that is what's important. And if we establish that, and we come to daven Shemoneh Esrei, with that inspiration that what we want is Ruchnius, then we've put ourselves into Tzadikim, into the level of Tzadikim, and that's how Kaddish Baruch Hu defines Tzadikim on Rosh Hashanah. As much as a person wants Ruchnius, as much as a person wants Yiras Shemayim, that bakasha, that power of Ruchn, of desire, translates into tzaddikim. The power of desire can't be calculated. There's a story that someone came to the altar in the Varlik. As the practice in those days, a rich person would come and would ask Rosh Hashiva, who should I choose as a shidduch for my daughter? And he would offer a suitable dowry. And they were going through different people in the yeshiva, and the alpha from Nevada said, well, this bachur is the smartest bachur, the biggest genius, and this bachur is the biggest machnis, that bachur is the biggest talmidus. And he went through many few different bachurim, and each one detailing a specific attribute that this bachur had. So after hearing the whole smooth gevir, the rich person said, okay, bottom line, who's the best bachur? So the alpha from Nevada pointed to a totally different bachur. One that he hadn't mentioned at all. So he was flabbergasted. He said, one second. He's not the Masnus, he's not the Balkishan, he's not the genius, he's not the Balmidus. Why is he the best Bacher? So the Alpha Nardi said, he is the biggest Mavakish. He wants the most. That Bacher was the cipher. The power of wanting, the power of lusting, is incalculable. And that is the key. Approaching Tfilas Rosh Hashanah. We have to believe that the Tfilas work. We have to include everybody in our Tfilas. And we have to see to it that we have the proper desire and proper lesson when we come to Davening. And through that, we can truly utilize the opportunity that Rosh Hashanah presents us to Davening to make a change in the global situation, to make a change in our personal situation, to make a change for the whole community. And yes, I said, through the proper tefillah, we should all be zeichah to daven with kavana, to daven with a brand, with a flame, with a fire, and we should all be zeichah to tefillah k'sim etayla. Thank you very much for the strength, for your very meaningful words. I'd like to thank everybody for coming and for joining us, and in particular the Abundance, again, to thank Rabbi Ryan and Rabbi Kleiser and Rabbi Frank for their beautiful words and inspiration, and on behalf of the Kailo, especially everybody here, a good event for your beautiful team of Kailo. Thank you. Right.